Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 779. Very important podcast, Katie.
This is
the last podcast of the year. This is a hostful episode.
People have been looking forward to this. People keep asking for this.
I know.
We did it.
You know what's charming and adorable? People are like, that's it. They're never doing hostfuls again. The Nerdist Podcast is falling apart. And I always feel like, come on, guys. It's fine. We're not going anywhere. Just we're all trying to coordinate our schedules. We're busier. Busy is good. We're not going to abandon you. We will always get together when we can. But it just shows that people give a shit. So I appreciate that you give a shit. But we will do these as much as we can, and they're not going to go away. We have no intention of stopping to do hostfuls. This is our big end of the year wrap up show. Full disclosure, we recorded it, I believe, beginning of December.
Yeah.
So it was recorded at the beginning of December because Jonah's about to go away to continue shooting his show Hidden America, and so now we decided to make it the last podcast of the year. So this is our kind of our wrap up year. Good year. Good things happen. Weird things happen. We're human beings. We will share our human experience in a hostful manner. But before we continue with that, events@nerdist.com. That's an email you have to remember if you want us to share your thing on the Nerdist Community Corkboard. We get a lot of requests. We sift through as many as we can and get them up in, you know, the best that we can. Katie, what do you have on the corkboard for the last podcast of the year?
I got two things real quick. First of all, the Nerdist School, which is located in Meltdown in Hollywood, has a new set of improv classes that are going to be starting the first week of January. So if you want to check it out, read more about them, or sign up, you can go to nerdistschool.com. And also, this guy Will wrote in that his friend up in Napa runs a pet care service through her home called Little Rascals Pet Care. And it's like, instead of, you know, sending your pet to like one of those boarding places where they don't get a lot of attention, she has them in their home and they get attention all the time and they get to hang out. And it sounds like a really fun, you know, place to board your dog.
That's awesome.
They would have fun. And you can find them on Facebook by looking up Lil Rascals Pet Care. And that's like L-I-L with apostrophe.
Oh, that's really cool. You know, there was a place I used to board my animals here in L.A. when I had dogs called Paradise Ranch, and it was really cool.
Is it up in like
Sun Valley?
Yeah.
It's in Sun Valley, and it's basically like a couple houses and the property that's gated off. And it's really cool because the animals get socialized during the day, but they also get really cool places to sleep at night. And if you have a cat, and at the time I had a dog and a cat, they give the cat its own bedroom. So the cat gets a bedroom.
The cat must love that.
So they get a bed, a bed under the bed. And, you know, when the dog and the cat were there together, they would let the dog come in and see the cat. So they had very specialized individual care. And then also like webcams so you could spy on your animals when you were away.
Aww.
So
that was my place has pictures and I look at Scout all the time.
It's so great. Yeah, it's so great. Take care of your little furry ones. Yeah. Why don't you? And here's the Nerdist Podcast number 779. Hostful goodness, wrapping up the year. Katie, for the last time this year, will you please roll the thing?
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Is that a euphemism for something?
It's spring training. They report. Truck day is a big day in Boston when the truck takes all the equipment down.
Because there's a truck day sounds like a real like white trash thing. It's like, hey, it's truck day. Everyone's going to bring their trucks down to the town square.
Drive around in the mud.
It's a lot of fun.
Truck day sounds amazing. Your truck day sounds better.
Drink beer on the flatbed and in the front bed.
That's one thing I miss riding in the back of a pickup truck. I know it's completely dangerous. And
when
it's
did
great.
You do that?
Huge Hawaii
growing up,
thing.
Growing up,
Hawaii, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of how you just catch a ride around town.
You go pick coconuts, and
sometimes, yeah, you pick coconuts.
I was gonna jump in for you, Jonah, but yeah. I guess he's right.
Yeah, no, you were spot on with that. You tried to be offensive, but
no,
I wasn't
trying to be offensive at
you
all.
You said it as a joke.
I was not trying to offend you grass skirt wearing poi jockeys.
You know,
a lot of
South Pacific people. It's a generalization.
No, I'm just talking about
South Pacific Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio. I didn't start the fire.
Oh, yes.
I miss those references. Those old Billy Joel references.
Yeah. Classic.
South Pacific. I would have gone with what's the musical.
A happy talky talky, sure. Happy talk.
Yep.
Talk about things you like to do.
Jonah's a secret musical fan.
Not I love it.
Secret.
You know what I did not on Thanksgiving?
No.
Went to New Bev after I got turkey dinner at Cantor's with Dee, and then we went over and watched Singing in the Rain over at the New Bev.
That's a real nice Thanksgiving.
It was such a great Thanksgiving. What? Yeah, it was a good Thanksgiving.
How crowded was Cantor's?
So packed. I never waited in line there before. We waited in line to sit down.
Thanksgiving's a big restaurant day.
Yeah.
Last also, few years I had done that.
A lot of single tables, though. Oh, that was the kind of bummer part. Boy. It was a lot of just table for ones.
Well, that's why the line was so long.
Yeah, exactly.
It was taking these two tops.
So what's... Jonah, this is unprecedented.
Let's talk about your house.
No, we don't have to talk about the house.
Oh, you're right. It's beautiful, though.
Thank you.
This is like old school. We're at Chris's house on a Sunday doing a pie. This is even predates Katie.
Yeah, we're sort of in between moving right now. So there's painter's paper on the floor, and there's one table that the previous owners let us borrow for Thanksgiving.
Oh, I thought that was a flooring choice. Thank God.
It's real lo-fi. It's lo-fi design.
They let us borrow this, this dining table.
Chris has gotten really into freeganism. I'm not sure if you knew about that.
Well, we had Thanksgiving here, and so they were very nice, and they said, hey, do you want to borrow our dining set for your Thanksgiving dinner? We said, sure. So we had, you know, like eight people over.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah. Who prepared the food?
You know, my mom normally cooks, but she found a place in Calabasas called Lovey's, I think.
Yeah,
she
the Kardashians love it there.
She ate there a month ago and said, you know, just for fun, I ordered the Thanksgiving dinner, and she said, it was so good. So I said, you know, because my mom is an amazing cook, and she will cook for days, and she's also the kind of mom that, like, you can't help her clean up. She just does everything herself, and so this year I was just like, well, don't do any of that. Let's just, you know. Yeah. So we just pre-ordered everything, and it was great.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, we wanted the same thing, just real easy Thanksgiving. But you had like your first family Thanksgiving. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, please.
We were in D.C. at Dory's sister and brother-in-law's house, and I cooked the Thanksgiving.
You
meal.
Did?
I did.
Saw the pick.
Cooked the turkey and the sides. A lot of fun. I love a good turkey cooking. I nailed it, guys. It was very moist.
Really?
What'd you make?
Excellent. I wouldn't expect you to mention it any other way.
What is? I want to know Matt Myra's Thanksgiving.
Oh, it dinner. Was you know, traditional. It was beautifully dry brined turkey, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, green beans, and two types of stuffing: pork and Jew.
Wow.
Yeah. And by Jew, you mean
Jew and me, buddy.
Well, that's offensive to two types of people.
Jew and me ain't so different.
So you made Jewish Thanksgiving for your Jewish wife.
Well, I mean, I everybody ate the pork stuffing. It was great.
Oh, they did it.
Why wouldn't you?
They just violated the code.
It was just, you know. But it was great. The food was good. It turned out amazingly. We put dairy on the same plate as meat.
Thousands of years. Yeah, they violated the code. This is their secret society.
Not in anymore.
And then, and then on Friday, we went to the White House and did the West Wing tour, which is cool. You have to know somebody who works at the White House to get in there.
Oh.
It was great. I saw the Oval Office.
Who'd you know, CJ or President Bartlett?
Bartlett.
Yep.
Big fan of Bartlett.
Good.
We knew someone on Bartlett's staff, Stockard Channing.
Oh, good.
And we got to see, it was really cool to see the actual goings-on of the White House and the offices and, like, the Navy mess.
What is the serious question, what is the general feeling in D.C. right now?
For me, it just felt like, yay, America.
Was there extra security? Is there extra...
I mean, no more than it has been. There was a lot of armed guards around monuments and things like that, but it was just a lot of people out with their families.
And you didn't get the sense that someone was going to run out into the thing with the... Okay.
None whatsoever.
Because I really, really, really love D.C., and I want to go back at some...
It's great.
I was just there...
Hit up the 930 Club again.
Yeah.
I was just there.
Historic.
When were you just there?
Like three months ago.
Uh-huh.
So I won't be able to go for like another
year.
Well,
you can handle it. Yeah. 6 months, you can go.
No, it's a year. You got to get...
Is that the rule?
Well, it is.
Or is that a fake rule Alex has told you?
It's just a normal like touring rule.
Because if you go to a city too many times, you basically oversaturate. Like people go, oh, he's here so much, we don't need to go. Mm. And then they and also, I'll need to have all new material by the time I go back there.
Yeah, because if you go back too soon,
and then you'd have no material needed.
But then I wouldn't be able to go do stand up there for another year.
Yeah. The thing, if you go back too soon and you do a lot of the same material, people are going to go, oh, he just does the same material.
And then they don't come back to you. There's a very delicate...
Boy, it is a double-edged sword, guys.
It really is. A very delicate formula for making sure you go enough to a city that you like, but you don't go too much that people get sick of seeing you in the same material.
Yeah. But so, that's what Alex is like kind of a genius at.
He is. Yeah. That's, you know, I watched it happen with Gaffigan and I followed it and he's right. Every time you go back in this chunk of time, about twice as many people show up and it's great. It's really great because I'm taping the special at the end of January. So
yes, a reason why we're not doing a live Nerdist at San Francisco Sketchfest.
I'm touched that people missed us, but also at the same time, I felt a little like easy now. So we were like, "Wow, thanks, guys." We're like, "No, we're not trying to ruin your day. I'm doing my special, so I can't do another ticketed show."
Very selfish of you for those fans. They needed us to go unprepared onto a stage.
And at first you're like, "Hey, what the?" And you're like, "Oh, it's because they want to see." Okay,
yeah.
I mean, it's all fine. And then Jonah Ray has been the busiest Jonah Ray I've ever seen since I've known at Jonah Ray.
That's true. I've been busy before.
Not like this.
Not.
You've got like job overlap right now.
Yeah, it's the thing that me and Emily Gordon always do is we go too many things, but it's like good things, but just too many things.
Right.
So you're allowed to complain a little because it's too many things.
Well, but
it's all beautiful stuff.
Because you just want to make sure that you do a good job with everything.
That's the you know, the issue right now with the Hidden America show is that I'm a facet of every aspect of it, and so it takes up a lot of my brain space. Where it's like, we wrote everything, and then like we're rewriting stuff before we shoot it, and when we're shooting, I also have to remember my lines and also produce the stuff. And then also, at the end of the night, I'm going and looking at cuts of the stuff we've shot before and trying to give notes. But I'm like not used to emailing notes. When I was doing stuff at Web Soup and The Soup, it's like I like sitting with the editor and going through the stuff. And so I can't do that. So I'm learning a bunch of stuff as we go forward. And I've only gotten sick on the road like 8 times. So
and the worst classic part, Jonah.
Yeah, I know. The worst part is it's like well, that people go like, "Don't drink." I was like, I'm not like I'm doing.
Well, that's the first thing.
Yeah, it's the first thing. And then they're right to assume so. It's but it's just so much stuff, and it's been really neat.
It's good. That's how you learn.
Yeah. It just it could be really isolating, It's also like my first outing in a way for a lot of people of like my, like, cause I've done a lot of stuff on my own, but this is like since the podcast got real big and Meltdown and all that stuff, this is going to be my first thing coming out where it's just my thing. And I'm not like, a co-host with you guys or a co-host with Kumail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm feeling a lot of...
So Kumail's not in Hidden America?
No.
Well, why are they calling it Kumail's Hidden America?
That's some other thing. That's the guy's fantasy version of my show. Yeah. Hidden America with Kumail Nanjiani and also like...
Jenny McCarthy's Talking Dead.
Yeah. but yeah. So it's been really fun though. We got like, a ton of people. We got to be in it. Joel Murray, we had to do bit.
Nice.
Yeah, it's Jill Talley.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, Jill Talley was awesome. Just like a ton of really rad people.
When is that coming out?
June, I think, is when I was telling people January because that's when like they were gonna have our episodes due, and then like I guess they mapped out their how CISO was gonna release all their shows,
mm-hmm.
and then they said like ours is a tentpole show, so it's gonna go up. It's going to start with, like they have big shows like UCB and Dan Harmon's Harmon Quest and, the Cyanide and Happiness
mm-hmm.
Animated show. And Kulop is doing a show with Ben and Tom. That's like, so it's like they got a lot of high profile shows. And then mine is one of those. So they're going to do ours. It's to hold up some smaller shows they're doing. And that's in June. And so when we found that out, we were just like, oh, okay, well, we're still trying to wrap it up by January. Yeah. So it's going to be done. So it's going to be a fun year.
Speaking of Joel's.
Joel's, hey.
Ah,
look at you.
Speaking of Joel's.
We didn't start the fire.
That's what I'm getting at. Oh, that's so great the way that looped around. Billy Joel is bringing back Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, the Kickstarter.
The Kickstarter's doing well.
Jonah is the new host of Mystery Science Theater, which is insane because when I think about one of the reasons why I get so excited for you about that is because I just imagine teenage Jonah Ray watching Mystery Science Theater and never for a minute thinking, someday this is going to be my show.
No.
And that's pretty fucking amazing, and I'm very happy.
Thanks.
For you.
No, it's really weird. It was, you know, like one of my all-time favorite shows growing up and still to this day. You know, both of my records have our names from Mystery Science Theater, the movie. Yep. I wore shirts. I got made fun of. You know, it was like a huge thing. Also, another thing was like when I first started doing stand-up.
It's like today. You still wear shirts and get made fun of.
Yeah, that's true.
There it is. No, you're wearing he's real legit wearing man. A Mystery Science Theater 3000 shirt.
I bought it before it all went down.
otherwise, they would have given it to him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they, you know, it's when I first started doing comedy, I was like maybe about a year or two in, and I was doing stand up regularly, and I started doing improv at UCB, and this guy from a management company saw me do stand up, and then just happened to go to the improv show that I was on, and afterwards talking to me, he's like, "Hey, you're really funny. Would you want to come in and meet with you know, a management team at this place?" And I was like, "Sure." It was the first show busy thing that ever happened to me. So I get into this office and I sit down, and all these guys are like, "So what would you want to do? Like, what would be your plan for, you know, for your career now?" And this was in 2003 or 4 maybe. And I was like, "Well, I think it's about time that someone brought back Mystery Science." It's been off the air for maybe 4 years, I think, at that point, 99. I was like, "Someone should bring back Mystery Science Theater." And they all laughed at me. They all laughed like they thought I was saying a joke.
Call them back up.
I should call them all back
laugh
up.
Laugh at them again.
Yeah. But it's so it's been something I've, you know, always wanted to do and always thought about doing. And
I mean, for the ones whose black hearts didn't disintegrate, they didn't turn into a poof of smoke when they were cast back into the Necronomicon, these types of entertainment people.
but yeah, and it's been a weird kind of long time coming thing. You know, like
you've been talking to Joel for years about this.
Yeah, almost 3 years.
I mean, like I remember when he came on the podcast like 3 years ago, three years ago, and you guys started talking about it then.
Well, that was when it was one of those things. Like, so we met on the podcast, and then we, I just happened to go to an art show that the next night. And he was there, and I was like, "Oh, hey, Jonah, we met at the party." He's like, "Oh, hey, man.
That was the one who was following your car."
Yeah.
Jonah?
How did you know I was here? and then I just happened to go to Harmontown the next night, and he was there too. And then I remember it was like a week or so later, you texted me saying, "Hey, Joel Hodgson just got a hold of me asking for your phone number."
Yeah.
And I was just like, "Oh, shit.
So you guys hooked up."
Yeah. And so yeah. And then it just... he started talking about, I met him at New York Comic Con. It was just one of those things where he would kind of call me every once in a while and we'd just chat. We would just have a conversation about stuff. And he would talk about all his ideas of how he would want to bring it back and how he would want to do it and what he thought about it. And
why did he say he didn't want to host it himself?
I don't know, because it wasn't really part of the way he talked about it. He just talked about, it was just very subtle, like the things he would do to the show and how he would little tweaks and how he would the different little design things. But this was years ago. And also, you know, he had the idea 3 years ago of he wanted to do like a Mystery Science Theater. I remember in like Philadelphia, he was like, it's like, "Oh, we'll do like a Mystery Science Theater where it's a movie riffing theater and people can go to it. Like it's a UCB thing." That was like one of his, you know, lofty ideas. And he's like a genius guy. Like he's always like just thinking of just the most outside of the box, crazy, amazing, funny things. And so it's just like, I was like, you know, it goes without saying, you know, any help you need with any stuff concerning Mystery Science Theater, I will be there for you. I'll be on set as a PA. I don't give a shit. I'll fucking be a part of it. And, and then he would call. He's like, "Yeah, man, I was thinking, like, you know, it's just like, it'd be really cool if you want, you know, like, you know, help write some of the riffs for the movies." And I was like, "Yes, and like, I'll do it. Anything. Just this is amazing." And I thought and I remember getting off the phone going, like, "Can't get any better than this." And then a couple weeks later, he called me again. "Yeah, I was thinking about more, you know, some kind of like, I've seen some of the stuff you've done, maybe like more of like a producer writer, you know, like maybe help direct."
And like, I was "Jesus, leave me alone, man."
Yeah, and I was like, "Anything you need, I'll do it. Get off the phone. Can't get any better than this." And then he called me again and we were talking about some more and I was telling him some of my ideas. And he's like, "You know, I was just thinking about, like, you know, you can't have an old guy yeah, like hosting this show. This show is like, you know, none of us were old when we were making it, and I always kind of felt it could be like Saturday Night Live or Doctor Who, where it's like you can refresh it by having this, you know, you got a certain amount of elements that you don't change, and then everything kind of cycles out of, you know, people cycle in and out of those positions. And he was saying it's been done before. I mean, like, you know, there was two hosts, there was two Tom Servos, there was three gypsies, five magic voices, and two crows. You know, there's like, there's no
and villains.
Like, yeah, exactly. And everything kind of cycles out. So he's like, yeah. So I was thinking, it's just, you know, it'd be probably, you know, just probably the best option if you were the new human. I was just like, oh,
new human?
Yeah, yeah. And like, I was like, hey, sure, yeah, and yeah.
And you hung up the phone and said,
yeah, no, I hung up the phone and said, it can't get any better than this. So yeah, that's
and Felicia's going to be the new one of the new villain.
Felicia's going to be the new Mad.
That's fucking awesome. Great.
And you know, I had never seen much of you know, we've met her casually, we've had her on the podcast, and like I've, you know, been delighted every time I've seen her, and but I never knew much of her acting, you know, prowess. And then when we did the Kickstarter video, I thought she was so funny and so good at embodying like a weird, you know, it's like, no one can beat, when it comes to a Mad, no one can ever beat Trace Bolo as Dr. Clayton Forster. There's such a crazy, huge, broad character aspect to it, but he keeps it grounded somehow, and it's just so silly and fun. And I think she captured a lot of that, like a lot of that kind of, you know.
She's red. She's such a great choice. That's going to be so cool. I emailed Joel, and I never heard back from him. I pitched him that idea.
Oh, about Midnight?
No. Well, yeah, you guys should all come on at Midnight.
Yeah.
No, I pitch him the idea where it's like, no, maybe Joel, maybe they tried to clone Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the Mads tried to clone Joel, or Felicia tried to clone Joel to restart the show, and it went wrong. And so now there's basically like an evil, you know.
Oh, yeah,
There's like an evil Joel, but he only says one word, like Hodor. And he's basically, they just kind of use him as a, he just sort of shuffles in. He's just kind of like the PA.
He can't say anything besides, it stinks.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Joel, can you go do this?
It stinks. But I never heard back from him.
Yeah.
That was my big contribution.
Well, he's been pretty swamped. He says it's, you know, running a Kickstarter is like running a political campaign. You're like constantly having to, like, you know, respond to people. Every time you release new information, there's a, you know, 100 more questions, so it's like, it's a constant.
Are people being cool to you
generally? Yeah, I mean, I was pretty shocked by how cool people were with it, and you know, there was also, of course, there's the general populace that just don't like me, which is fine, and there was a lot of people that don't know me, which is, you know, cool, but like a lot of people were really into it, and I thought that was really cool. I mean, I was really scared, you know. I remember the vitriol that Mike got when he took over, and there wasn't even social media around then. There's no, you know, so
nerds love change, and they love their precious things that they attach their identity to, to cycle in new.
Well, you know, the weirdest part, there's a couple weird parts to it, is that you know, I got my dream job, and then I had people tweeting me saying I'm going to ruin it. And that was a weird feeling.
Oh, Jonah, I ruined Walking Dead and Breaking Bad. Don't worry about it.
You're
going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I've ruined everything. Yeah. So don't, it doesn't, it's just something people say.
Yeah. And I, you know, I was fine with it. But then like, I think the weirdest part, and I try to explain this to people, I was like, you got to understand, it's the weirdest for me because I can't join in on the conversation about if the new host is going to suck.
Like, and you also, you do have that insecurity of, you know, just, and I know from being involved with things that are very close to things that are like the strongest fandom things, that you don't, that's a particularly harsh insult, because when you're a fan of something, you never would want to be the thing that ruins it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you feel like it's particularly, it hurts extra because you're like, no, I'm one of you, and you would do this if you got the opportunity. Fuck you know?
Yeah. No, a really cool thing I did was I just started responding positively towards people, and I also, you know, I was a really awesome Facebook group got a hold of me and like invited me to the group, and then I like started with, you know, talking with people there and like kind of, you know, told them my background. And then a Mystery Science Theater podcast got a hold of me and like I was on it. And it was nice to be able to tell people that I am a huge fan, or show people that I'm a fan, and that it is as important to me to be good as it is to.
Well, also, you want to say to them, like, listen, Joel's not going to host it. Someone else is going to host it.
Yeah.
Better it be someone who it's been in their soul for their entire lives.
Yeah.
Than some rando that they cat. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. they couldn't. I can't think of a better host for that show than you.
Thanks. You know, there was a lot of people saying like, oh, he's real negative, or he's got a jerky, aggressive stage presence.
Not negative.
Yeah. I like joking around like I'm negative.
Yeah,
like,
but you're not negative.
Yeah. At all.
But
at
I,
all.
You know, but I
you
can
like
see how
too
that...
much bullshit. That's what I think.
Yeah, see, Matt's the negative one.
Yeah.
No.
That was one of my favorite Keanu memes that someone made for the podcast. Whereas the Keanu was like, wait a minute, maybe it's Matt's been the jerk the whole time and Jonah's the nice guy.
Listen, you're going to be fine. Just... don't go to the AV club.
No, and I never do. I never do. It's no, like when the news came out, Kumail texted me specifically. He's like, he just texted me, don't scroll down.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. No, but he says that when the news
came
out.
Oh, in general.
Because like he knows I like the emotional cutting of seeing people validate my low self-esteem.
I swear. You know? The AV club has become impossible to go to anymore.
You know what? This is the way.
So negative.
It's pretty easy.
This is the way I.
It's so negative.
This is the way I think about it. A lot of the people that were saying negative things, saying it should be, you know, it shouldn't be you. It should be Patton, Eugene, Paul Tompkins. And I was just starting to think, oh, these are all guys. And, you know, you were in that mix a lot too. It's like, oh, these are all guys that have been doing comedy a lot longer than me. So it's like there's a clear, like, I'm not esteemed like, you know, that generation of comics, because I'm still fairly new to a lot of people. And so, you know, I've been saying this a lot, just seeing some of the people that say negative things. I said, they hate me because they are pretty much me. That's it's like they see a guy.
Like, goddamn, I understand you.
I look like so many people. Yeah. I look like so many dudes out there. And you got, you know, those guys that are coming. It's like, that guy's on TV? You could be on TV. You know, me and Matt are dealing with that with the cars.com guy.
Or yep. Looks just like both of us.
Yeah. Just.
Didn't get a call about that commercial, but
yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
we could have done it.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's hard. Yeah, we could have done it together.
It's hard with the, because it's hard with like the comedy, like our sort of our comedy royalty group.
Yeah.
Which I'm definitely not a part of, but it's like Patton and Paul and Bamford and all yeah. these really, and Zach and all these really amazing people. And, you know, but what's funny is that a lot of those people never stop to ask, like, well, I wonder if any of those people would want to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they just go, oh, that person should be, yeah, just don't go to the, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Like,
no, and I don't. And I've been really good about it.
It's almost become a parody. Like, AV Club has almost become a parody of itself.
And you can't say it because the AV Club, it's still, AV Club is doing a great job.
I mean the comment.
The comments.
When I say the AV Club,
every,
I mean.
Every comment thread is a parody of itself.
Well, they hated me ever since I made fun of Sublime on the AV Club. And if you're going to get mad at someone making fun of Sublime, then you are already in the wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've hated me since comedy and everything else.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's fine. But it's like, you know, I
practice
think,
Santa Ria.
Well, I got no crystal ball.
Well, I had $1 million.
What happened to it?
Oh, I...
We're in 11 of that.
Stop it. Jesus Christ. No, we're not.
I'm hilarious.
I feel really good about it. And, you know, the guy, Ivan, who's running the Kickstarter, who's done all the, you know, Reading Rainbow and all the bigger profile.
Is he like a Kickstarter for hire guy? That's
he
amazing.
Works for Kickstarter, and he's the guy that, like, it's like he knows how to do these like sure. campaigns. And he's just this brilliant guy. He's a huge fan of Mystery Science Theater. And he's a really awesome dude. And even when we were shooting the Kickstarter things, he was throwing out, you know, stuff to like.
I mean,
to,
that's
like,
the thing. I think anyone should be super psyched. Because it's sort of like the Ghostbusters reboot, or even when now everyone's on the Force Awakens bandwagon, but before, it's like, guys, if there's an opportunity for more of the thing, great. And if it's not great, it doesn't take away from the shit that you loved when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't have to. But I just think people need to understand that this iteration of Mystery Science Theater could not be done with more love from everyone who's involved.
Yeah, I mean, Baron Vaughn as Servo, That's insane. That's so, it's so great. It's and Hampton Yount already sounds like Crow. So that's like, it's like everything, everything makes so much sense. And it all feels right. And even when we were on set, like, you know, everyone kind of like just kind of clicked in. Even when we were like in between takes, everyone kind of clicked into the characters, and it was,
I'm so really proud.
Fun. Thanks. No, it's insane. It's really, really, really weird and insane. And I'm really excited to do it. And I hope we get a, I hope we get 12. When is this going to go up, you think?
I think this is going to be our end of the year podcast, because you're leaving town pretty much at the end of the year.
Yeah, I leave.
So this might be our like hostful 2015 wrap up.
We'll plug it in. Cool. So this will be okay. Yeah, and you want to know what's crazy?
I can't believe you guys met all of your fundraising goals. That
yeah,
amazing.
We might, after I tell you this next information, but you can't tell anybody because we're doing it before it's announced. But Felicia's. So she's King of Forrester. She's a Forrester's right. daughter, and she also has a henchman. Her henchman is going to be played by Patton Oswalt as TV's Frank's son.
Speaking of comedy royalty,
yeah, there you go. There's the rest of our order.
Holy shit! When's yeah. that?
That's getting announced tomorrow.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
but it was a month ago from when we recorded.
Yes.
This.
Yeah. Exactly. So. Yeah, who knows what would have happened in this past month, Chris? What do you think?
That's so crazy. What a December. What a fun. How crazy. So ridiculous.
But yeah, so that's pretty crazy. And it's what's nuts is that he popped up the silhouette. He's like, I still got more surprises for you guys. And he put up the silhouette of a new henchman. And so many people were just like, Patton Oswalt. Like, there was like mostly everybody's going, Patton Oswalt. A lot of people were going, could be Frank. And then some people were going, it's clearly Adam Conover. From Adam Ruins Everything.
Right. So, pretty crazy year. You got a couple new jobs.
Yeah.
Matt got married.
You got engaged.
I got engaged.
Yeah.
I haven't worked since April. It's been a great year.
Sounds like a good year to me.
You're going to be busy again, and then you're not going to have free time.
I don't see when that's happening.
We're shooting our Frasier's sketch this week.
Oh, yeah?
So you got to come in and be one of the customers.
I'd be glad to be a customer.
Yeah.
Or a Cafe Nervosa shirt.
Yeah. Well, can't really be a Cafe Nervosa shirt, but we're having some shirts made.
Great. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
Cafe, what are you going to call it?
I don't know if we actually did a Cafe Nervosa. I think we just did Cafe Frasier's, but in the Nervosa typeface.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because the bit is also, like, legally we can't have any Frasier stuff. We actually were able to make the Frasier logo, but we just used the Chicago skyline. Apparently totally able to do it.
That'd be really funny if... Kelsey Grammer was a guest star on it, and then they sued you for having actually Frasier.
The line we had where it's like in the episode, I go, well, yeah, what about Kelsey Grammer have ever come by? And she's and the lady goes, his relationship with Frasier's Cafe has been a little cease and desisty.
Oh, yeah. Matt, you got to
CISO.
Meet.
CISO, if you CISO something, say so something.
Matt Myra this year got to meet Patrick Stewart, Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Sort of Paul McCartney. That was the end of last year.
That was the end of last year.
That's already almost a year ago.
Wow.
Fuck. This year went by so fast.
Yeah. It's a real.
It's freakish. I can't believe that it's already Christmas.
Oh, I can.
No, it's crazy.
You sold another show. You have another show now.
Oh, The Wall.
Yeah.
Yes. I did a show called The Wall. It's a big eventy game show kind of thing, and I love game shows, and you know, it's funny, I for as much shit as people go like, what do you just take every job, like, I people don't know the stuff I turn down, which is usually I don't do everything, I just do stuff that sounds cool, and this sounded really cool. It's LeBron James is one of the executive producers, and it's a big eventy game show, and people either watch it or they won't, but it was really fun to do.
So you did the block shooting kind of thing?
We did 12 of them. My hiatus week for At Midnight about a month ago, that's what I did for my
You did
hiatus.
12 more or was it just 12?
We just did 12. Mm-hmm. So I took the At Midnight hiatus week and did those 12. And the show's really fun. It's one team per episode, so it's two people per episode. And it's basically it's a giant pachinko board.
Yeah.
So it's like but there's these bins at the bottom that have, you know, millions of dollars. There's like $1 million bin and $500,000 bin.
Jeez.
And one person goes in isolation. The other person is out on the floor. and the person in isolation doesn't know what's happening out on the floor, and they're answering questions. And the person on the floor, when they see what the topics for each question are, they're basically wagering how well they think their partner's going to do. So they're
that's interesting.
They're guessing where, and they have opportunities to double and triple up to where to drop the ball from. Because the probability is, you know, like if you drop it over the $1 million bin, the probability goes up by, you know, 12 or 19%.
Yeah.
Or if you're not confident, you're going to play the ball further to the left where the amounts are lower. Because if they get the answer right, the balls turn green and that amount of money gets added to the wall. But if they're wrong, the balls turn red and they lose that amount of money gets taken away. And the thing about spending an hour, like the episodes are an hour long, and these are all they were really cool about – NBC was really cool about casting it. They didn't just – it wasn't just random contestants off the street. Like everyone had an exceptional type of a story
where
they wanted to – you know, like one team, there was a guy who was a bus driver.
Are they doing field packages on everybody?
Yeah, there's field packages. And there's a – you know, like one guy was a bus driver and he pulled over his bus on his route one day and stopped someone from jumping off a bridge. Like everyone's done something kind of exceptional with their
lives. That's really cool.
And so – so you really get, and they were all really nice people.
Is that why no one from the AV Comment Club was
there's
there?
No one from the AV comment threads. But they'll tell you why they should have been on it and why someone else should have hosted it. So you really get to know these people and care about them. And the amounts, it's, you know, they'll be up $1.5 million and then in 5 minutes be down to nothing. You'll see the way the game plays out, but there are ways where they can wager where, you know, if they take a guarantee at the end, they'll get a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
But it could have cost them, you know, it's like, oh, you're going home with $150,000. Oh my God, that's amazing. But you could have taken home $1.5 million. You know what I mean? So
was that stressful, like being...
Yes! Because I care about people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really, like, I genuinely cared about these people. So going on this... So when I would, like, I'm they're going to have to cut parts out because I'm swearing at the board, like, if they got an answer wrong and a ball turned... Or if they got an answer right, but it landed in just a $10 bin, ugh, so they didn't get... It wasn't like $1 million or $500,000. Like, what the fuck? You know?
Oh, man.
Because you really care about these people. So it really was this crazy emotional roller coaster.
And seeing people's like dreams, like they start counting that money and then.
Yeah. Yes. Gone. Yes. Yeah. So it was.
I cannot wait for Meredith Vieira to host the daily afternoon version of this show.
But, you know, I don't know. So you never know what people are going to watch, but I absolutely love doing it. And I, you know, yeah, I never work on anything if I'm not excited about it. And
in the end, though, you already did it, so it's fun. It's, you had the fun doing it.
It really was, yeah. And it was really. We shot it out in Manhattan Beach.
Oh wow!
Because the wall is so big, it's like four stories high.
Oh, geez.
I could never walk to the top of it. I would throw up. But we shot it in the same studio they did Avatar in. Like it's this massive. Massive studio.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It was fun. So that was fun, and you know, but now it's done, and I don't know when it's going to air next year sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's really cool.
So what did we learn this 2015 as we're wrapping out this year?
That's right,
Matt.
End of the year.
What did we learn this year?
Keep my mouth shut. Be thankful for the work you have, and. Just really buckle down and start a life with your wife. Jonah, what did you learn?
Speak up, squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Wait, that's not all. That's the opposite of what I learned.
Look a gift horse in the mouth by the hand that feeds you. I wasn't saying that for you. I was just trying to
do the opposite.
You're trying to do the opposite.
That's the opposite bit. Yeah, that I've totally now ruined just from feeling bad.
Man, here's the thing I would say to you.
Don't worry about it.
Here's the thing I would say to you. You will get very busy again, whether or not you admit it. You will get very busy again. So just appreciate some free time while you have it. Because when you get super busy, you're going to be like, fuck, I wish I had a minute to sit down.
I had too much of it.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, that's tricky stuff.
At my wit's end with it. It's a long, I mean, if you think about it, 7-8 months is like, what do you do? I've run out of Disney theme parks.
Well, you wrote 3 spec scripts.
I have maybe 4 now, 5, 4,
for.
But that stuff is all. That stuff doesn't go away. You know, you still have it. Mm. So all you know how it goes. And this like, and when you're doing stuff, it's like someone's like, "Do you have something?" And you go, "Yeah, here it is." And then you get the job.
Yeah.
So now you have it. Now you like you spent the time, and it's not like you wasted it.
Well, it's like a day. It's a weird for listeners of this podcast. It's a weird period in time here in Los Angeles, in that we're in the no one's doing anything until January.
From Thanksgiving, and it actually
a little before that.
It creeps earlier and earlier each year. It's almost like the beginning of November. People just start mentally powering down.
Yeah,
but I will say that with so many non-traditional outlets, you know, it's television.
You'd think
network television's that way, but then a lot of the other outlets are not that way. And you're also doing like 12 podcasts.
Yeah, I do a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how this one every once in a while. You know, exciting it was to see Matt show up for the Daniel Craig podcast. I was so
so bummed I couldn't be
that
there.
That made me so happy for you, and to see Daniel Craig. Matt was wearing James Bond shoes. I had a James Bond peacoat.
It was not
the James Bond watch.
It was not an out of ordinary outfit.
It didn't.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it didn't look. Yeah,
something I typically would. I mean, I'm wearing a watch now.
If you didn't know, you wouldn't know. If you didn't know, it wouldn't stand out.
Yeah. Bond, when not wearing like nice shoes, wears New Balances.
He actually wears Adidas Gazelles. I have two pairs.
But he instantly noticed Matt's watch, noticed the shoes, noticed the peacoat. And Matt was like, "Oh my god!" And he goes, "Yeah, well, that's all my clothes. Like he styles himself.
Yeah,
basically.
Oh, that's really cool.
The peacoat thing was so weird because it was hanging up behind. Because it was like you remember 2 weeks ago when it was like super windy on Monday? Were you in town?
I don't think so.
It was like crazy windiest day we'd had in at least a year, and it was like cold. And I was walking, so I was like, I gotta put on a peacoat, I guess. Yeah. Like I'd put on my warmest coat." And that was it, and it happened to be.
But that's what's perfect about it is that it happened naturally, wasn't it?
He was so nice too, and he was so cool about it.
He was awesome.
He was cool you know, like having just finished a month of Bond press, and to still be super cool and not like you know, like he was so.
I think he was more engaged with us than he has been in other interviews, for sure.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He has a great sense of humor.
He's really funny and so charming and so nice. And he even said, like, yeah, I've gotten a bad reputation sometimes about doing press. But I think it's probably just, you know, when you are part of an iconic thing and you do so much press and you answer the same question so many times and it's just it's a whole other job and it's a more than full-time job. Then I think sometimes people just misinterpret being a little tired or being a little worn down from the same thing over and over. They're like, oh, he fucking hates. They're like, no, just give him better press to do. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's the press's fault for not, you know, because there were a couple of really shitty things that I saw where people were trying to, like, I don't know, just they were trying to do bits with him, like Bond bits in press.
Oh, I completely never saw that. And that would make me too uncomfortable to watch.
Did you tell him about the sketch you did for Attack of the Show?
Completely forgot. Completely forgot.
I like that. I rewatched that recently. Because it's still online somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
It's still like some of those G4 videos exist on YouTube.
Black Friday just happened, so the Black Friday sketches.
Black Friday was popping around a little bit.
My all-time favorite Attack of the Show sketch.
No, really, more so than the music video.
Yeah, so much more.
Well, the music video was produced. This was one of those live Attack of the Show things. You know what I mean? It was.
I remind people about it every once in a while, but look up Matt Myra Black Friday Attack of the Show and watch him draw dicks all over the great deals that you'll be getting on Black Friday on the Telestrator.
I remember that. Really, that's right.
It was a hoot. It was the
because
hardest.
It just it. It was just that magical moment of it happened. It wasn't planned, and it just sort of happened in the moment, and it just began unfolding. And when Matt immediately realized what it could become, and then he embraced it, and it was
so great.
The best, especially because it was the end of Attack of the Show.
We all knew
so anything
gone.
Was going. Yeah, on. Yeah, I remember that.
It was the only time. Yeah, it was the only time I've ever. Whenever Bernardo would give me sound like time cues. Whenever he opened his mic, I just heard the booth laughing. Like Bernardo could barely get through the time cues. It was funny.
That's awesome.
It was funny.
I am thankful for this year, which is almost,
it's been a great year for you.
It has been a really
good. Personally.
It has been a really good year.
You've grown a lot.
Probably my best year.
As a human being.
Because you know, I met a wonderful woman
who's
an amazing person that is exactly what you said when you met Dory. And, you know, it's calming and it's supportive and our relationship is supportive. And I didn't know what it could mean to feel just this way and fulfilled.
Yeah. And it feels exactly right.
It does.
Yeah.
But it's almost deceptive. And, you know, there were a couple times where I had to check my
privilege, your white male privilege?
That too.
Okay.
My alcoholic brain.
Because
the thing you forget is that just because you quit drinking, it doesn't mean that your alcoholic brain goes away.
Yeah.
And so I started noticing that being in a calm situation at first really threw me, because I really thought, and this is just to, you know, anyone else who has addiction issues, I throw this out there. Ignore it if you want. Maybe it's just for me, and maybe it doesn't apply to everyone else. I don't know. But what I noticed about myself this year, what one of the things that Lydia taught me without realizing she taught me this was that, you know, with alcohol, if you're getting drunk, there's like a high, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't do any substances, you still chase things that give you kind of an emotional, whether they're good or bad.
Just like to release some kind of weird
something,
chemical that's already in your body.
Yeah, so chaotic situations, drama. Like I used to mistake drama for passion, and that's not true. It's just drama and chaos, because I think it just stimulated.
You're also Italian. So.
Hey, come on. I think it stimulated my brain in a way that I think I was trying to replace it with. I realized so much about myself this year, and then I finally came to, I really understood, oh no, you're not supposed to do that. You should be centered and peaceful and happy and not, you know, running around chaotic. And
yeah, there's enough chaos that
there is enough chaos
at you without you trying to do anything.
Yeah. But it is scary, and you know, because my brain gets also very superstitious. You know, my dad used to say this thing, and I've talked to my therapist about it 100 times, and because it's a thing that she keeps saying, like, yeah, it's not true. My dad was younger. He built this false association that I think a lot of people have, where he was afraid of good things happening because he always thought a bad thing was right around the corner.
Yeah,
which is a very, I'm told, it's a very kind of English. It's a very British kind of a thing.
Yeah.
When my dad, you know, his history, even though it was generations ago, but you know, we are derivative from the Brits.
Yeah.
And it is, and it's also a very Catholic thing too. There's a lot of guilt and a lot of, you know, you should feel bad.
Yeah.
Matt will tell you.
Oh yeah.
And oh yeah. So, no, I went to Catholic school.
And so, oh, you did. Okay. Yeah. So we all did. So, you know, there's that too, where I keep going, oh, is it okay to be happy? Is it okay to be successful? Is it okay to have? And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, because when someone goes like, oh, well, there's nothing going wrong in your life, like you know, and you go, yeah, but if you're kind of neurotic and you have those issues, getting anywhere out of your comfort zone, whether it's good or bad, can be dangerous, because when things start to go well, you might sabotage them because you feel like, I don't deserve this, or I feel guilty about this, and sometimes I do, and so there is a bit of, you know, I mean, I know it is exactly, I mean, you made the joke before, but it is sort of like privilege complaining. Things are going very well, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't fuck with your head sometimes.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure you feel that too. And I'm sure you feel that too. So it's, you know, you do have to remember your brain creates that stuff, and you can ignore it.
Yeah. You know, it's the thing you were saying when, you know, it came time, it's like, I remember talking with, like, when Deanna and I were getting together, and you know, we were going to move in with each other, we were like, oh wow, moving in? You're like, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when we're getting married, they're like, ooh, getting married? You're like, yeah, of course. And you know, that same thing happened with, and then like we saw the same thing happening with you, where it's like, you know, you guys were getting together, and that was just like, yeah, of course. It's like, it wasn't a thing. You think it's going to be this big, like, oh, and then I realized one day at the top of a mountain that it's just like, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, this makes sense. This is exactly.
I mean, it is. It's as logical as like, well, yeah, why wouldn't I wear shoes when I go out? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, of course, why wouldn't I do that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was nice to, I don't know. Yeah, and it just feels really good and calm, and I don't know, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm just trying not to screw it up.
Well, there's that thing again.
Oh, shit, fuck you. Wait, was that it? Did I just screw it up just now?
Yeah,
that was the thing. No, that was screwing up. You screwed it. No, I screwed it.
I think just know there's nothing you could do to screw up anything.
Well, there are things you could do to screw up. You know, I think...
Oh, sure.
No, I mean, yes, but there will be things that will happen that are beyond your control.
That's true. But I also do believe that most of your life is the direct result of the choices that you make.
Yeah.
And in a lot of people's cases, I think it's more than they realize. And certainly there are things that can happen that are completely out of your control. But I think a large percentage of someone's life is the result of the choices that they make.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, I guess just try to make good choices and ask good questions and be thankful when you can be.
Yeah, that's important.
I'm thankful for you guys.
I'm thankful for you guys as well.
I'm glad that we were able to get together and do this because
yeah,
people keep saying
seemed like a way we should do this in that someone says, "Hey, I'm around on this day. Are you around?"
Well, it is kind of it's almost like a pickup game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, can you come over? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can come over at 3. Because
yeah.
You're going to be out of town till the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year, we're only going to...
Are we announcing?
Yeah, well, I already said this on Reddit. But we've been putting out 3 a week for 3 years now. And next year, starting in January, I guess, it's going to be once a week. Because I do not have the mental energy to...
Yeah.
Putting up 3 podcasts a week means recording 5 to 7 podcasts a week, which is 8 to 9 hours of podcasting.
Yeah.
And to get up in the morning, do whatever shit I have to do in the morning, go to at midnight, work on building the script for the show that day, going and doing a podcast, doing rehearsal, doing at midnight, going and doing another podcast, maybe trying to sneak in stand-up somewhere. Like, my brain by the end of the day,
yeah.
To have to be that focused all day, and it's just getting the podcast. It just I don't want the podcast to be shitty, and I'm afraid that I'm getting dangerously close to being burned out and overtired, and I don't want them to suffer as a result. So I'm just backing off for 1 a week, and that can always change.
Yeah,
can always change, and it can always go back up. But for now, I just don't want to sacrifice the quality of the podcast by sticking to this idea of like it has to be 3 a week.
Yeah, you know, it does feel weird just from having been so busy lately, and I'm not on any podcasts, and you know, people will ask me, it's like did you quit? Like, people are asking me now like if I quit, and that hurts. That kind of sucks because it's like no, I don't think I would ever quit, and if I did, I think it would be a thing that would be talked about.
Yeah,
it would be like, you know, but
well, this is one of those things when you know, when I said this to you guys a couple of years ago, you know, when everyone started getting busier, I just said, look, just show up to the ones you want to show up to when you can.
Yeah.
And when we can, we'll all get together. And when we can't, you know, like I never wanted the podcast to be a burden for you guys. I never wanted it to be like, oh, you need to be here because we're a team and you're fucking, we can't play. You know, like, never wanted it to feel that way because I know how important it is to go off and do your own stuff.
Yeah.
And so, because that's what I did. So I feel like it's important. And I'm excited and I'm happy for you guys when you do other stuff. And I never feel weird about anything like that. And I always want this to be a welcome place that you can come when we can all get together. And so
yeah.
You're busy now. Maybe you won't be in a few months. Matt will get super busy. And then when Matt can come in, like, but we'll do it. We'll keep figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling that as much as whatever happens, none of us are going to be able to ever get away from each other. And even if it becomes like a thing, you know, it's just going to be fucking Monty Python with the three of us. It's like, you know, it's going to be 20 years. We're going to be doing a reunion show or, you know.
Noodle stories at the bowl.
Noodle stories at the bowl, please. Noodle bowl.
We'll only be serving ramen. If it exists in 20 years.
Who knows what's going to happen then? We'll all be eating telepathically. We'll all be connected to Wi-Fi with our brains.
But that's kind of, that's how I feel about this. I don't think it, you know, I think it's just a thing that's going to be, it's a part of our lives for a very long time.
God, I would honestly be... I told Matt, I was like, God, I would honestly be, if we just did Hostfuls,
we've been threatening that, and we'll never do it.
Well, if the scheduling worked, we could.
We could make it work.
We would have to sort of like gang record. We'd have to do like...
We tried that way back in the day,
no,
remember?
You can't do that.
We tried to do 2 in a row, and like the
work.
Second one...
We were so burned out. Oh, that's
out.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a Hostful episode that we quit halfway through because we were all just... I mean, I don't think...
Spent. If we wanted to do it more often, I think all we'd have to do is sort of play it by ear and not throw it in the schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like, I think,
like today.
Well,
today
as long as we have general ideas, like, oh, I think Jonah's going to be around second week of January.
Yeah, yeah.
We could just,
yeah.
We'll just start doing that.
Also, January, I'm going to be around quite a bit. I mean, I'll be editing during the day, but I think January, like, we can do evening, like, you know, like great. 6 o'clock style.
Great.
This is all work talk, so like we can do afternoon. This later. But
I like a Sunday afternoon.
A Sunday afternoon is nice. I remember we did so many of the original
work on
ones.
Sunday afternoons, but
I know I'm working a lot of Sundays next year.
Oh, that's right.
We're doing a lot of Talking Deads next
year.
Yeah.
Are you going to do one for
Fear?
Fear?
Yeah.
Man, that I love that Fear of Walking Dead season. Did you watch it?
I watched my second ever episode of The Walking Dead last week, which was the mid-season finale.
No, that's tonight.
Mid-season finale is tonight.
What did I watch last week?
You watched the second?
The Walking Dead?
Yeah. You watched the second episode?
They do like
I must have watched the second.
They do big
episode.
Bangers now, like for their they do like these kind of like.
Oh, that makes sense.
I thought Fear was great too.
When the thing falls?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Such a different.
But I made some weird observations about the show and was annoying everyone I was watching it with because they were like, I can't think of it any other way now. Because it was just I found it fascinating that every character says the full character's name and relationship in every other scene.
Really?
You're like, yeah, Carl, my son. Or when what's-his-face Steve Ewan was saying, talking about his wife, he named her and then said, my wife. And it was like everyone's like naming everybody. And then
I wonder if that's like a
because there's
move.
So many characters, they have to go like, this person is this person.
I wish they did that on
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Like, I wonder if that's a way to like a cool writer's trick to kind of, oh, you can just kind of start. And then the show will tell you who everybody is, even though it's not the pilot. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's very easily followable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because you can just jump in. If everyone's saying, like, you know, Carl, my son, like,
also,
it's like you're like, okay, that kid Carl is a son.
Of
boom.
Course that yeah. church was coming down. The first shot they show of it, you're like, oh, well, that's going down.
Yeah, it's called foreshadowing.
I'm like, why would they show it three times? Like, they really hammer over the head of dum-dums?
Just in case you didn't know it was coming down. It's coming down.
Rad shot. The rad shot.
It's yeah. down.
Yeah, no, it is.
Now it's fucking
yeah.
down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I really did love Fear. And it started off the first episode, I was like, oh, I don't know. It's a little slow. And then I watch a second episode, I'm like, oh, I get it. Well, the apocalypse is just happening now.
Yeah.
You have to get to know these people first. Because I thought they would have. I thought, oh, well, they're going to use these first six episodes just kind of setting up. And each fucking episode is like yeah. twice as fast-paced as the one that preceded it.
So it's going to catch cool. up, right? It has to.
Eventually, I'm sure it would have to. But right now...
It's what, 30 days before Rick wakes up?
It's about a month.
Yeah. So they have a month of storytelling before they're caught up to Walking Dead land.
But
you know what I mean?
But the thing is, it's like... When the entire society shuts down, I mean, those might as well be different continents.
Yeah, I suppose also like in a city like L.A., because the walkers, if you die, you become a walker, regardless yeah. of how you die. So I suppose in a city like L.A., where the populace is so much bigger than, you know, Atlanta or Georgia,
yeah.
you're going to have a bigger problem out here than you would say.
But the thing is, you can get to the desert. I mean, that was the conversation I had. They're like, let's go to the desert because it's sparse, you know. It's
oh, no, we're in Vegas.
Yeah.
Everything's business as usual here.
Yeah. No, but I really dug it. I really, really dug it.
Well, anything else you want to say before we wrap this up to...
2015?
Have a happy Hanukkah.
Yeah. You're so stoked.
Mm,
you're so stoked to be part of a Jewish family.
Happy Hanukkah. We're having a latke cookie party. It's going to be a big, big hit, guys.
You got your Hanukkah bush up?
We hung the Hanukkah menorah. Put the menorah on the mantle and hung the Hanukkah banner. We have a happy yeah. Hanukkah banner that goes over the fireplace.
Yeah.
We did the tree yesterday.
You're really inspired by the OC's Chrismica.
Yeah, that's the gift Dory chose to use with our email of the party. It's like, you can take the girl out of BuzzFeed, but you can't take the BuzzFeed out of the girl.
2015, the OC references.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's dumb.
California!
That's right. That was it. I for some reason, always forgot that it was Phantom Planet.
California.
Yeah.
Knows how to party.
Yeah. Welcome to the OC, bitch. It's Orange County.
Oh, wait. What do we watch that we really... Oh, have you seen Jessica Jones yet?
Not yet.
Fucking great. And David Tennant. Well, first of all, everyone in the show is great. Kristen Ritter's great. Guy who plays Luke Cage is rad. Rachel Taylor's great.
I heard good things about Tennant.
Tennant is sublime. Not the band.
God, nope.
Nope. Bad choice of words. Tenet is...
He's sublime with Tenet.
I don't practice Santeria. Well, I don't got no crystal ball.
Yeah, he's fucking amazing.
I had a Lonzi. But
this is a Doctor Who. It is the Doctor Who sublime mashup the world has been waiting for.
It's the thing you knew the podcast would eventually get to.
We've arrived.
We finally did it, guys.
We almost got to the end of 2015 without that happening.
Changed a lot, but not at all.
All right. Well, Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for sticking with the podcast. If you're listening for yet another year,
we appreciate
and,
it.
Yeah, and then next year, once a week. And what day of the week do you think this should go up, Katie?
I don't know. We just have to decide.
Well, I don't want to.
What day does cereal come out? We'll just go the other day.
Bing, bing. But yeah, thanks for listening, and you know, thank you for listening to talk about our shit. I never thought. When we started doing these hostful podcasts, I just never thought anyone would care about them. I was like, well, we're going to run out of guests at some point.
Yeah.
Let's train the audience to not expect the guest every time.
Yeah.
And try to train them.
And these have been so special and wonderful.
And
also, these are us catching up, too.
Yeah, yeah. This is our, like you said, this is our poker game. This is our pickup basketball game.
Without any physical activity.
Or mental stress.
A lot of mental stress for me.
Well, yeah.
Well, you're a very negative person.
It is hard to find out which...
God, yeah.
Which...
Can't wait to...
Jonah Ray ruined the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah.
That's because Chris Hardwick already ruined it. It was double ruined.
Yeah. Team Matt.
Matt's going to do a podcast about how the Nerdist podcast was ruined by Chris and Jonah.
I can't do anymore. I just can't. I came here literally from doing 3 hours, a three-hour podcast.
Jeez.
Like at 11 a.m. and I got done it. Like two.
You're the king.
King of podcasts.
That was a hell of a Gilmore.
Matt Myra, king of podcasts.
Were you what? Gilmore?
I did Gilmore Guys. I was on their podcast. Yes.
Yeah, I can't keep up.
There's so many.
I don't think I listen to any podcasts.
That's okay. You don't have to.
Yeah.
I listen to a couple.
You listen to music.
Listen to music and books on tape.
Books on tape, but like long for podcasts.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you have a great New Year. This is just something that I like to tell people to do at the end of the year. Just make a list of everything that you learned this year, everything that you accomplished, everything that you're thankful for. If you did that every so often, I swear to God, your life would get better. Incrementally at first and then compound more. I'm just sing a fucking song, Matthew! Just write down the stuff that you're thankful for. Write the stuff that 2015 meant to you and look at it. Put it into the real world. Enjoy it. Celebrate yourself. Even if you feel like there was nothing, there had to be something. There had to be something. This is turning into the Frank Cross speech from Scrooged. It's easy. I get it now. I get it. You can have a nice, calm relationship. You can be with a person who loves you for you. You can do it. You can celebrate yourself. It's not arrogant to celebrate yourself. Don't shit on yourself. Don't destroy yourself. Love yourself. Be nice to other people. Be nice to yourself first.
Yeah.
And that's it. So from all of us here.
Now the Nerdist Podcast.
Enjoy.
Your.
Burrito.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.